Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They're to the River Islands guest line. And here he comes, Kurt Warner, on with Willard and Dibbs here on 95.7 The Game. Kurt, thank you so much for doing this. And how would you respond to that, to the idea that Brock Purdy is, or his ceiling is, like a Nick Foles or like a Trent Dilfer? Do you buy that?
I mean, no, I don't buy that. And again, I mean, you have to kind of put it all in perspective that, you know, so much of it is about the situation that you're in, what you bring your team in that situation. So, I mean, I don't want to sit here and say Trent Dilfer wasn't a good quarterback or Nick Foles wasn't a good quarterback. Both guys obviously going to and winning Super Bowls, of course. I just think you have to look at the body of work and you have to look at the situation that they're in. And you have to ask yourself the question, most importantly, is who do we think we have in this quarterback? And, you know, how does he fit into our system? And then maybe the last piece is there somebody else, or, and not even somebody else, are there numerous people that we think we could place into this situation and them play the position better than who we have? And those, to me, are the questions that every team has to ask. You know, I look at Miami, and there's a lot of conversations about Tua and Miami and all that stuff. Tua, I don't know if he's as good in another system or other systems as he is in Miami. But I could also say I don't know how many quarterbacks in the National Football League would be as good as Tua in that system. And so they went and paid him. Why? Because he's really, really good at what they're asking him to do, and they don't believe there's other guys out there or more than a couple other guys out there that, you know, chances they probably aren't going to get them anyways, a couple other guys out there that could play in that system as well as he does. So that to me becomes a big part of the equation. And then I think the other part of the equation is, if that's the case, what are you willing to pay the guy? Because I do believe there always has to be an element of understanding whether that player, that quarterback specifically, can truly elevate your team if you don't have all the pieces around them that maybe they've had. And I think, you know, Brock's a great example. They've had great talent and they have a great situation. And I think Brock plays in that situation at an extremely high level and does things that I don't think there's very many quarterbacks in the National Football League that could do as consistently in that system. And that to me is where he's got tremendous value. But you also realize if you go and pay a guy $50, $60 million, you're not going to have the same pieces around him in most situations. So does he have the ability to elevate your team without those pieces? And that's where I think all of this comes in is, you know, is he a $60 million quarterback? Is he a $40 million quarterback? And I know the league has gone crazy in the standpoint that so much of it is next man up. Next man up, we've got to pay him, you know, more than the last guy got. I'm not a believer in that. Now, I don't know how you get around it. I don't have to do that as a general manager, but I'm not a believer that everybody is just a $60 million quarterback because they're a starting quarterback in the National Football League. But, you know, you have to figure that out within an organization to say, hey, where's the quarterback see himself? You know, does the quarterback think he can go get $60 million somewhere else? Does he think he can be as successful in another system so he's going to hold out to get more money? Or do they realistically understand situation is beneficial to me? I'm a good quarterback. And together, we have a chance to be really, really successful for me to have a great career. And so I do understand where I fit in the hierarchy of quarterbacks in the NFL. And I'll take what I believe or where I believe I fit. I'll take $40 million. I'll take $35 million to be a part of this and to have a chance to succeed for the long term.
Hall of Famer Kurt Warner here on Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. So you talked about system, and I know you've seen every snap from every team this year, which I love, by the way. When you look at Brock Purdy and the system and the scheme, why has it seemed like a regression from Brock Purdy this year as opposed to last year?
Well, I mean, yeah, I will say, I don't think Brock has played and seen the game quite as well this year as he has the last couple of years, and especially down the stretch here. And, you know, I can't explain exactly why. You know, in watching what they do in San Francisco, Kyle does an unbelievable job of building this offense around their run game and around their play action. And he does a great job of creating opportunities for guys and creating open players. But I also believe that the system and the way it's set up doesn't always get those guys open the way that Kyle wants them to be open. And what I mean by that is it's not structured in such a way that, you know, if I've got a big in route that's running 18 yards, there's not always a guy underneath that in route. So if the linebacker falls underneath the end, I can automatically just go right to the guy underneath it, and it becomes an easy high-low read. The offense isn't always dictated that way. So the quarterback, you know, gets put in a position where it's like, find a way to make that throw if you can, right? And Brock does a great job of layering throws and have great anticipation and timing to be able to make some of these throws work that, you know, aren't really, you know, set up perfectly for him to make them work or for any quarterback to make work. And so I believe there are some challenges within the pass game of the 49ers that really challenge a quarterback. And so, you know, some of those throws are hard. And I've seen Brock make a lot of those throws consistently over the last few years. This year, not as much. And, you know, so you know when the game is hard, but we're in situations where the game is harder. I know we expect guys to make that throw every time, but sometimes you just don't. You know, sometimes those throws are just hard, and you can't make that hard throw every time. And it just seems like there's been way more of those situations and way more times when Brock just hasn't made the throw and, you know, when he hasn't seen the field quite as well as he has the past couple of years. And so, again, it adds another layer to this whole conversation, right? Is that, you know, if you're asking this conversation the last 2 years, you know, you're just like, man, you know, you're seeing a different subset of how he's playing. And then you have a bit of a down year for whatever reason. A lot of different things obviously are going on in San Francisco. A little bit of a down year, which now starts you to ask the question, well, okay, well, who exactly is Brock Purdy moving forward, and who's he going to be, and why is he not seeing it as well? I mean, I could say the same thing about Patrick Mahomes. I don't think Patrick Mahomes is playing nearly as well this year, kind of on schedule and within the scheme of things. I think he's missing throws that he has made in the past. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that, but I could look at that. He's just got enough of a body work, obviously, for us to go, all right, we're going to chalk this up, and probably more than chalk it up to a bad year, we're going to blame the things, right? We're going to blame the protection, and we're going to blame the weapons on the outside more than we're going to blame Patrick Mahomes, because he's shown us what he is. And so there's just so many factors that go into how we're looking at it and when we're looking at these kind of situations, and then having an understanding of play to play, game to game, how a player is really playing, what's really going on, And then probably what is their overall value, you know, to that team or to that situation? And, you know, what are we willing to, you know, to pay a guy because of whatever that skill set is?
Kurt, conversely, I want to ask you about Sam Darnold. A lot of talk about him here because he was here last year. Also, our friend Brian Baldinger came on earlier this morning and said he would try to flip Purdy for Darnold, even though that's not sort of really possible based on their situations. But I do want to ask you about Sam. Why has he suddenly popped and looked so much better, in your opinion?
I mean, the first thing just makes me laugh because, like, what about the last 2 years with Brock Purdy? Like, you know, I remember I kind of went through since St. Louis, too, is that, you know, went to a couple Super Bowls, won a couple MVPs, and then we had a down year after our, you know, after our second Super Bowl. And, you know, and people were asking, well, are you going to, you know, change quarterbacks and whatever? And I just remember Mike March at one point in the season going, wait, are you guys a part of the amnesia crowd? Like, have you forgot, you know, what happened the last 3 years and how good Kurt was? Like, we're not just going to panic because we've had a bad stretch here, but it's almost like that's what we're doing in San Francisco. Let's forget about these last 2 years because this year hasn't been as good. And then the same with Sam Darnold. Let's forget about everything else he's done in the league because he's been wildly inconsistent. And although he's shown glimpses, he's never been able to put it together. And now he's having this incredible year in Minnesota. And we're already ready to say, oh, let's flop him and let's take this guy because he's having a great year, even though he's never shown the ability to put two great years together back to back. So it's so funny how we have such recency bias on so many different things in this league instead of just trying to figure out, okay, who is this guy? Yeah, that's what we need to know. Who is Sam Darnold? Is Sam Darnold the inconsistent up and down guy that we've seen most of his career, or is he the guy that we're seeing this year play with great confidence and being surrounded by great playmakers and being surrounded by a coach that believes in him and setting him up for success in a lot of situations? Is that what we're going to get from Sam Darnold? Is it just now he's matured, he's found the right system, and we're going to see this guy play this way the rest of his career? I don't know the answer to that, but I would have to see it. I would need to see another season like this before I'm ready to say that's who he is, because we've seen plenty of players in this league that, you know, run into one of those just magical seasons. They have a magical run, you know, in one season. They can win an MVP. They can go to the Super Bowl. Like, all these things can happen in one season. But then what happens is we normally see how this levels out. And you go, oh, okay, they had that one outlier season that was just better than everything else. And the rest of their career, they're this guy. And that's really what you're trying to figure out with all of these quarterbacks. And so Sam, I think, is in a great situation. He's playing really good football. You know, he's surrounded by a lot of really good pieces that have made the game easier for him. And so things have just kind of come together perfectly for Sam this year. But I want to see another year like this, you know, before I'm ready to go, that's the guy. And this is, you know, who we thought he could be. I want to see him stack another season together that's just not quite as perfect, right? The things around him aren't quite as good. And show me that you can still be a similar type player, and now I can invest in something like that.
Is it fair to put the Niners in that same bucket with Brock Purdy? Because last year, everything kind of broke his way. They were healthy, the schedule was easier, and he was amazing. And then this year, injuries, maybe teams caught up to the scheme, tougher schedule. He hasn't had the same kind of year. Is it fair for the Niners to still kind of have the jury out based on what you've seen?
Well, I mean, you know, Brock's had more than just 1 year. Like, right, he's been behind center, you know, quite a while now. And he's shown the consistency, you know, in my opinion, to say, I know who Brock Purdy is. I know what he is. And this year, again, if it was just Brock Purdy this year and not a whole bunch of other factors, you know, maybe that would give me a little bit more pause on who I think he is as a quarterback. But with, you know, seeing when the situation was, you know, was good and how they expected it to be, and he was always at a high level. He was playing really, really well from the time he became a starter up until, you know, this year. So that to me was a pretty good body of work to say, I know who Brock is. And I've even seen glimpses of all of that stuff this year. So it's not like all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not seeing him do anything that he's done the last 2 years. What the heck has happened to him? He still does a lot of those really good things within the offense. He just hasn't had as good a year. He just hasn't seen it as well. The situation, he's got different guys in there. The continuity is not there. It's just not the same. I mean, what about C.J. Stroud? What are we saying about C.J. Stroud right now? Is C.J. Stroud a top-level starter in the league because we saw him be Rookie of the Year last year and we saw him come on the scene and you were just like, oh, my gosh, this guy's incredible. And now here in his second year, he hasn't been nearly as good. And so now what do we say about him? So, again, that to me is why you don't really know who a quarterback is until you're 4 or 5 years into that thing. And you could really see and have the consistency to go, okay, this is what he does well. This is what we can hang our head on. This is a guy that can carry us. Yep, he's going to throw some interceptions. He's going to do this. But you know, these are the things that we know about him. It's hard to tell after a season or two. You know, we just want to jump one way or another instead of saying, hey, let's ride the course and, you know, let's figure out who he is. And then we'll figure out what his value is and what we're willing to pay him and all of those pieces from there.
The great Kurt Warner is joining us here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. Kurt, you know, we've talked to you so much about Purdy, and it's evident that there's a connection there, at least in your mind, because of the fact that you guys had, I guess, maybe somewhat similar paths in that you weren't high draft picks. And because of that, it does feel like you have to prove yourself over and over. What's that like once you've proved it and then you still have everybody doubting it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's always tough, but you also understand it's the nature of this business. I mean, it's the nature of what we do, and, you know, and there's always going to be that underlying, I don't say always, for a period of time, there's always going to be that underlying idea of this is why you weren't drafted, Kurt, right? You know, there was a reason you weren't drafted and became a free agent. And so every time there's a glimpse of something that doesn't measure up or isn't great, it's easy to kind of fall back in your mind or your mindset to just say, okay, here it is. This is why, right? You know, Brock doesn't have a big cannon arm, but, you know, so, you know, he's not going to wow us with throws like Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or whoever that is. And so you're going to see that at times and you're going to be like, oh, that's why, you know, he's Mr. Irrelevant. So he wasn't drafted high. Maybe that's the reason why he can't be good in this league or, you know, we shouldn't pay him $60 million. So I just think, and I think too, as a player, I understood that. Like I understood what my limitations were. And so I understood why people could gravitate to certain things. And for me, it was always, but here's the things that I do really, really well. Here are the things that make me different from everybody else. And so I could always kind of hang on the realism of knowing, yep, I'm not going to wow people that way, right? I'm not going to do that. And so, you know, the games that I struggle, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day and we were talking about Lamar Jackson. And, you know, Lamar is so good in so many different ways. But, you know, he had like another game where he had, you know, same amount of incompletions as touchdowns or you know, vice versa, whatever. And, you know, and when you watch him play, the amazing thing about a Lamar Jackson and why he's has so many games like that is because when there's one time where a guy isn't open or he doesn't see it, he doesn't just have to throw it anyways. He doesn't have to try to make that throw into tight coverage or he doesn't have to throw the ball away. He can go and create, you know, even if it's a 5-yard run, he goes and creates a positive play in a situation where a guy like me has to throw that ball away, take a sack, or try to, you know, make the perfect throw into coverage to get a completion there. And so I understood, like, those are my limitations. There are going to be some games where I throw 5 interceptions where Lamar Jackson probably won't throw 5 interceptions. Because where I know I've got to do something with my right arm, he says, I don't have to do that. I can go run around and I can do something else and do something positive for my team. I couldn't do that. I was stuck, you know, because of my limitations. And I understood that. And I knew there were going to be games like that. But I also knew there was going to be games where I was going to see it faster and I was going to make more plays and I was going to be more accurate and I was going to do those things. And that would carry me. But in those games where, you know, all those things just, you know, weren't easy and they were hard and I wasn't on the top of my game, I understood that, hey, those are going to happen. They are going to happen because I am very reliant on the things around me to, you know, to allow me to have success. I'm not going to go out there and be Josh Allen and be able to run around and run through five guys. And if I don't see it, you know, run for 30 yards and get a touchdown. It's just not going to happen. And so there's most guys in the league are like that, like me, that have limitations. And we have got to win with this one kind of skill set and strength set that we have. And anything that falls outside of that is going to be more of a challenge for us. And so, you know, Brock falls into that category, is that I get it. He is not one of those other guys. So he does need pieces to be right around him. And, you know, Jared Goff, same way. And he's playing great football and he's in the MVP conversation, but things have to be more right around him than they have to be for some of these other guys. And, you know, that doesn't mean that they're not valuable. It doesn't mean they're not a starting quarterback in the National Football League. It just means they don't have all the skill sets. And, you know, you guys know it. Every team would love to have Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's what every team would love to have. But there's three of those guys. Like, there's only three of them. And they're rare. And so, you know, to try to always compare really good quarterbacks to those guys and understand, well, you know, you're not having that many games where you have more you know, touchdowns and incompletions, then you're not valuable. Well, you're just valuable in a different way. And that's what each team has to do. They have to value their guy in their way based on their system and decide, you know, what that number is for them if they're going to re-sign them to a deal.
Hall of Famer Kurt Warner here on 95.7 The Game. Is it difficult to not press when you get in that spot? Because I'm looking at your three-year run where you go 35-8, you go to two Super Bowls, you win one, and then the next year looked like the struggle bus hit you, and Brock this year struggled. Is it very difficult in that spot to tune out the noise and to avoid kind of pressing and trying to do too much?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's no question. And, you know, and there's so many factors. You know, I was talking to somebody again, it relates to you guys. I was talking to somebody again about the Buffalo game against San Francisco and where you guys had to go out and play in the snow. And, you know, a lot of people jumped on that one and go, look, you know, there's Brock playing in the snow. And, you know, then there's Josh Allen playing in the snow. And Josh Allen can overcome, you know, all the weather and all the conditions and all that stuff. And again, no doubt Josh is a freak in that way. But, you know, what I was saying is, so if you're a guy that game is built off of seeing things quickly, anticipating, you know, letting the ball go because maybe you don't have a cannon arm, but anticipating throws and making that kind of a play, and you have to go play in the snow. It's not just because you can't play and throw in the snow, but there was no way for anybody to anticipate in that game. No longer did it become about anticipating because you had guys like running on skates that, you know, like they couldn't turn the corner. You know, their break, instead of being what would normally be 1 to 2 yards, became 5 or 6 yards. So now you have to wait for that guy to get open and wait for that guy to get out of his route. And then you have to drive this really big throw in there. And it's like, that's not who Brock is. And so, yeah, he's always going to be, you know, at a disadvantage in that game where Josh can wait for his guy to come out and then throw a laser in there because he's got this big cannon arm and he gets away with it. So you can't always just look at that situation and go, well, Josh is this and you know, and Brock isn't. Yeah, because Brock's strength, you know, in another situation, Josh may have an incomplete pass because he's holding it, waiting for a guy to get two steps open, where Brock lets it go before the guy comes open, and boom, the ball's right on the money. And in another situation, Brock separating himself from Josh in something like that. And so I just think, you know, you just have to understand. And again, you just have to understand who your guy is and what he does well. And you have to put a value on what he does well within your system, not compare him to the next guy, not all of those things, but say, hey, in our system, here's what the value we put on it in our system. Okay. How much does he need pieces around him? How much does he need things to be right? What can he overcome? You know, and the goal for every team is to win Super Bowls and to try to build a team that can win Super Bowls. And some teams, you know, can have a quarterback that can elevate their team and carry their team a little bit more than other teams. And that's where you have to piece together this entire pie of the, the salary cap and how much you could pay a quarterback to still be able to build a team that can win a Super Bowl around that quarterback. And it's different for each and every guy.
Kurt, we could talk to you all day. We really could, man. Just great stuff. And by the way, for our listeners, if you want more content from Kurt and the film breakdowns and just all of this kind of content, it's really, really good. QBconfidential.com. That's the website, right, Kurt? Okay.
Yes.
QBconfidential.com. So send everybody there, and we thank you so much for the time today.
You got it. My pleasure, guys. Take care.
Okay, you too. There he goes.